Sometimes as Christians, we need to be reminded that we are in a battle. There are times in the Christian life when we become a bit too comfortable in this world. We become more concerned with the cares and the concerns that weigh heavy on our hearts. And from time to time, our focus slowly can turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can become what is called worldly minded. And we still pray. We still come to church. We still read the Bible. But even in those things, our love for Christ can grow cold. We can feel far from Christ, and we can feel more closely connected with the problems in our lives. Than connected with the Savior who redeems us from those problems. Paul understands this. This is not a new problem in Christian experience. This problem is as old as time. It's a problem that even began in the garden as man sinned and as man broke off that relationship with God. He hid from God, and God came in the garden and he said, Adam, where are you? As Adam sinned, he must have sensed that isolation, that being separated from God, that being distant from God. And as we look throughout redemptive history, as we look into the scriptures, the way in which the people of God had interacted with God and related to God, we see that problem continues even for the redeemed. That sense of slowly drifting away from God, turning to the things of this world and turning away from the God who was or is their Savior. And even as Christians, we are prone to this, aren't we? This drifting in our relationship with God. This is not something that ended in the Old Testament, but it's an experience that, as all of us reflect on our spiritual lives, if we are honest with ourselves, we can say that we too have had that experience of drifting in our relationship with God. And as we take a few moments and reflect on our relationship with God and reflect on the fact that at times we have drifted, we can confess, we can say, Lord, I have turned. Lord, there are times when the things of this world win out. There are times when the troubles and the cares of this world have more of my attention, have more of my love, have more of my concern than you. And these types of confession are needed at times. These types of confession are things that all of us as Christians have to bring before God from time to time. From the oldest to the youngest in our midst. From the strongest in faith to maybe the bruised reed in our midst. We all have the ability to confess this. If we have been redeemed, there are times when we drift. And like I said, Paul understood this. Paul's not an idealist. Paul does not believe that the church is filled with people who who have all of their life together and who are 100% at all times focused on Jesus Christ and never turn to the right or to the left. Paul understands this, doesn't he? There are times when we need to look at the scriptures as a mirror and look at ourselves in that mirror of the Word of God and even command ourselves, wake up. Christian, wake up from the slumber. And that's what we see this morning. That is the call that the Apostle Paul is making on our life. Christian, wake up. Our text is Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Our text this morning is a wake-up call. It's a text that calls us from our slumber that we can easily drift into as Christians. It is a call to call us out of that lukewarmness and call us into that battle, which is the Christian life. One old theologian said, these words are an alarm or a morning watch bell of singular use, and not only for the awakening of the Christian to his day work, but a reminding him of who he is. Friends, those of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ for redemption, there are times when we need to be reminded of that. Times where we are reminded of who we are and where we stand before God. Times when we are shaken awake and reminded we are supposed to be in a battle. So let us look into this text this morning. Let us see it as a battle cry to go and to defeat those sins that easily beset us, and as a way to encourage us to fight the good fight, to continue on in the Christian life. Our first heading this morning is Christian, arise. Christian, arise. We see that in verse 11 and in the first part of verse 12. It says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. The first thing that we notice is that Paul calls us to arise. And that is connected with those preceding thoughts. He says, besides this, meaning besides all of the things that I've already told you, besides all of those consequences, those applications of redemption in chapters 12 and 13, besides all of those things, you need to arise. You need to wake up. And what this means is that we are to not take our focus off of the gospel when we are doing those things. It's so easy to get sidetracked, isn't it? As Christians, we are busy doing those good deeds. We're busy doing those works that please God. And it's so easy to get sidetracked and to think, I'm doing these for myself. Or to think, I'm doing these to win favor with God. Or to think, I'm doing these because somehow I'm hoping when God weighs out the scale of my life, that the good outweighs the bad. And Paul says, no, brothers, no, sisters, besides this, besides all of these things, wake up to this call. Wake up to this Christ-centeredness. He then says, the hour has come where you are to wake from sleep. There are times when all of us become lethargic in our faith, where we're going through our Christian life and we think, I am so tired. I am so unfocused on the Christian life. Paul says, arise. The day is at hand. You know the feeling. The alarm goes off in the morning. You're in that state of mind where you're somewhere between awake and somewhere between asleep. Maybe the sound of that alarm, it's been incorporated into your dream. And it's that state of sleepiness. Am I awake? Am I asleep? Am I in reality? Am I in the dream world? Paul says, don't be in that place. Don't be in that place in your Christian life. Don't stay between sleep and alertness. Wake up. Wake up. Because you know the time, he says. And what is the time? Have you thought about that question? In the Christian life, or in the history of redemption, or in God's dealings with men throughout history, what time is it? See, the question is a reference to 1 Chronicles 12. In 1 Chronicles 12, David is assembling an army. And the text tells us that he's putting together all of these mighty men to make up this army that he desires. And then interestingly, it tells us that some of the sons of Issachar are added to that number. And what it tells us about the sons of Issachar is not that they're the strongest men, or not that they are the best swordsmen or the best archers. The text tells us that they know the time. They're men that understand the time. They were men that understood what was going on culturally in Israel at that time. They knew what was needed for battle. They knew what strategies were required for the fight. And this is what Paul is calling us to do as well. He's saying, wake up and know the time. Wake up and look around and know what's going on. Know the strategies that are required. Know that the church is being called into battle. And we are to have wisdom as we go into battle. We're not to just all do what we want and fight as we please. We are to go in with a wise strategy. And in order to do that, we need to wake up. I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, wisdom is not what characterizes me. Usually I have to think, okay, what day is it? And what do I have to do today to be wise? We need to be awake. To be effective Christians fighting a spiritual battle, we need to be awake. We can't be in that state where we think, okay, what is my name and what am I doing here? Because when we're awake, we know our name. And that name, my friends, is Christian. Wake up, Christian. And there are implications for that. There are things that we are to be doing, that we are to be working towards. And we are called here by name, Christian, wake up. What time is it? Paul's not saying, it's 6:30, wake up. The word that Paul uses for time, know the time, is a different word than we use to translate what time on the clock it is. You see, in Greek there are two different words that we translate as time in English. The one word is chronos. Now if you're like me, you buy watches at Target, and they're called watches. But if you go to the jeweler to get your watch, it's no longer a watch, it's a chronometer. Chronos, something to measure time. And that's not the word that Paul uses here. Paul uses the word that can be translated as season. Know the season. And in the history of redemption, we are in the season of the reign of Christ. We are in that time that we characterize as the already, not yet. We're already there, yet we're not yet there. We are in that time when the church is called to spread the gospel, calling all men to repent and believe the gospel for the remission of sins. We are also in this season where the crucified Christ is taking his church and he is conforming her more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. We are in the season of sanctification and we are to live crucified lives as we become more like Jesus Christ. That is the season. And Paul says, salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. Friends, we're closer, aren't we? Every day, every waking day, our attitude should be, I am one day closer. One day closer from hearing, enter now into thy rest. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that is to be an encouragement to us. As we are living our Christian lives, every day we're closer. That fullness of salvation is close at hand. That time when we will be fully restored, fully put in the image of Christ, we're closer. And it's part of knowing the time. And friends, we can't do that as long as we are in that state of sleepiness. As Christians, Christian, arise. There's an urgency here. Paul's not saying, slowly get up, read the paper, 3 cups of coffee. When you get around to it, start deciding what you have to do for the day. There's urgency. And the reason that I can say there is urgency is because of our second heading. Christian, get dressed. Christian, get dressed. We see that in verse 12. He says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Urgency in getting dressed. When I was in college, I worked at a well-known Christian bookstore. And one Saturday, it was my turn to open the store. What that required of me was to be there at 7 a.m. to go in and start the computer systems, to do some checks and balances, to check what had gone on the day before in sales, to get the system started and get the store ready to be open by 8. And I woke up at 7:15. I had a 20-minute drive. There was urgency. I didn't have time to make coffee. I didn't have time to do much because there was urgency. I had to be somewhere 15 minutes ago. And it caused me to understand what urgency is. I need to get there fast. Look at verse 12 again. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. That's that time of the morning where it's still kind of dark and there's the little sliver of sun on the horizon and it's just starting to be morning. Most of us don't see that. Few of us do, but most of us don't. And what Paul tells us to do here, he says, you see that sun coming? It's morning. Hurry up and get dressed. Get up. Take those pajamas. Cast them aside. And that's what he's saying. That's the word that he uses. Cast it aside and get dressed. Not fold those pajamas. And when I was a kid, my mom would have me put them under the pillow when I made the bed so that the next night I could put the pajamas back on. And then in the morning you'd make your bed and you'd put your pajamas under the pillow. Paul says, don't take time for that. Throw them aside. And the imagery that he's using here is the works of darkness. He's saying, these are what we've been wearing, but it's morning. Take them off and throw them aside. Do you remember Pilgrim's Progress? If you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress, or if it's been like 10 years since you've read Pilgrim's Progress, pick it up and read it. It is so filled with imagery that will help us in our Christian life. But if you remember, Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, he's carrying a burden. And Pilgrim is trying to cast that burden off, and he's not able to. He's trying and tries and tries. And if you remember, where was he able to finally cast that burden off? Was at the foot of the cross. He came to the cross and that burden was lifted from him. This guilt of sin was taken away and it was removed. And you know, as Christians, that burden of ours has been removed. But sometimes we slip into those old pajamas. Sometimes the works of darkness, those sins that easily beset us, those things that still need to be brought to Christ, those things that still need to be confessed and forgiven and brought to the cross. We still carry that as Christians, don't we? We carry actual sin. And part of the Christian life is getting those things off. And getting those things at the foot of the cross. Paul talks a lot about this in his writing. He talks about putting off and putting on. Do you know that imagery? He says, put off the old man and put on the new man. Paul uses that type of put off, put on language 14 times in his epistles. And each time it has to do with putting off that old nature, putting that old stuff away, and putting on something new. It's a very important thought in Paul's mind. And here he doesn't just say, put off the works of darkness. He says, cast them off. Throw them aside. But then what do? We don't cast off our pajamas and then go into work. There's something that comes between the two. We have to put something on, don't we? Paul says, put on the armor of light. It's a beautiful image. The armor of light. In Paul's mind, the armor of light, they are those good deeds that we do by faith. That is the contrast. The works of darkness are put off, and those good deeds by faith are put on. And he calls it the armor of light. So what do we do as Christians? What is the good works that we do? Why are we doing these good deeds? Chapter 16 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, paragraph 2 says, these good works done in obedience to God's commands are the fruits and evidence of a true and living faith. And by them, believers manifest their thankfulness, strengthen their assurance, edify their brothers, adorn the profession of the gospel, stop the mouths of adversaries, and glorify God, whose workmanship they are, created in Christ Jesus thereunto, that having the fruit of holiness, they may have the end, which is eternal life. So you see, the teaching is that good works are done for many reasons. We do it as fruit of our life, as evidence that we have been redeemed. And we do it to strengthen our faith. And we do it to edify those around us. And we do it to adorn our profession of the gospel. If we profess faith in Christ and don't have good works, we are not being a very good representative of what the gospel does in someone's life. And it's to glorify God. We do those works that God has created us for. Now, aren't these great reasons to put on the armor of light? Aren't these wonderful reasons to be aroused from our sleepiness and to cast off our pajamas, to throw aside those works of darkness and be adorned, be dressed with the gospel? Someone may say, well, you know, I see reasons for good works, but I'm not really sure how this armor of light is good works. You see, Paul goes on to give examples, doesn't he? Examples of what this clothing of darkness looks like versus what this armor of light looks like. And he says that the works of darkness are these, and he gives a list. But then he says, let us walk properly as in the daytime. Not in orgies or drunkenness or sexual immorality or sensuality. Not in quarreling and jealousy. He says those things, those are the works of darkness. And he focuses on issues that were common to the ancient world. You read anything from the ancient world and there's all sorts of debauchery and sexual sin and drunkenness and orgies. And this is life. This is the stuff that was written about often. But don't think that that was just for a different time. Spend time on many college campuses around the country, and you could see this list given. So these sins from the ancient world are also sins that are common in our culture as well. And if you think that Paul is only speaking to those specific sins as the works of darkness, look, he gives two other phrases. He says, quarreling and jealousy. Quarreling is that arguing spirit, that person that has to be the contrarian, that person that always has to have the last word. And then there's jealousy. Covetousness. Being jealous because someone else got the promotion, or coveting a friend's house, or coveting something that someone else has, or coveting somebody's marriage. Jealousy. Something that all of us find in our hearts, covetousness. All of these things opposed to the gospel of Christ. And I would say, if you still don't see your sin there, if you don't see that thing that causes you to stumble so much, insert it. Just put it there. Put it there so these words can be applied directly to your heart. You see, Paul is not saying that these are the only works of darkness. He's saying these are things that are common to man. So take a moment and take that sin that you struggle with, that sin that you know hinders your relationship with God. Just insert it. Read it there in the text. And then say to your heart, cast that off. Cast that off and put on the armor of light. Throw it aside and clothe yourself in that armor of light. And then Paul tells us that there is something specific that we are to be wearing. This is the comparison. Verse 13 says, walk properly. Walk properly. Now, to the ancient hearer, the word walk meant something. It wasn't drive from my house to the church, walk 10 steps into the church. Walking was a way of life. Walking was the way things were done. You see, the ancient world was a pedestrian's world. People rarely traveled on anything other than their own 2 feet. And so much of life was spent walking. Walking to market. Walking to synagogue. Walking for a visit. Walking and walking and walking. And you see how it could become associated with your way of life. Because so much time was spent doing it. And Paul says, walk properly. Let your way of life be proper. Let it reflect what Jesus Christ desires it to reflect. Let it reflect those works that give glory to the gospel and give glory to Christ. So how do we walk? We walk in obedience. We walk in obedience to the word of God and to the will of God, because that is what Jesus says is required of us. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he also says that men would see your good works. And what would they do? They would glorify our Father in heaven. See, people are watching. Jesus has promised us that. People are watching us. And the way that we live reflects the gospel. The way that we walk, the way that we go through our life is a reflection of Christ. That armor of light is to reflect Him. And what He is saying. So the Christian is called to wake up. He's called to arise, and he is called to get dressed. And as he's getting dressed, he throws off those works of darkness, casting them aside. We also see that he is to be adorned. Christian, be adorned is our third heading. In verse 14, Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh, gratifying its desires. We are to be adorned with Jesus Christ as we enter this spiritual battle, as we fight the Christian life. You see, there will be many attacks. We have an enemy to our soul that will look at us and say, you, my friend, are not a believer. There will be attacks. The realm of spiritual darkness hates Christians. And they hate the name of Christ that we bear, and we will be accused. where we will be tempted. Tempted to go back. Tempted to put on those warm, comfy pajamas. And say, just one more time. I think I can manage this one more time. The apostle says, no. You are clothed in the armor of light. And you are to put on Christ morning after morning as we go into this battle called the Christian life. We are to be adorned. One old Christian reform pastor said, having laid aside the garment of sin, now deck yourself more and more with the robe of Christ's righteousness, so that whenever Satan reminds you of your sinfulness, you can remind him of your new standing with God. We are adorned with Christ. And we have that as a defense in this battle. I am wearing the clothes of Christ. Friends, be adorned with Him. The beauty of Christ upon us. Wrapped in the garment, wrapped in that robe of His kingship. It is nothing that we have put on of our own. We have no clothing to wear. This armor given to us is given by Christ, and this wearing of Christ and wearing of His righteousness, it's given to us by Him as well. And it's our job as believers to make sure that we stay clothed with Christ. Be adorned. And if we are adorned with the righteousness of Christ, if we are adorned with Christ, and we are confronted with one of these sins, when we are tempted with one of these sins to commit, to drag us down, we can respond, sin, you are right. You are right. I am wearing nothing of my own. I have nothing to stand before God that is of any value, and I understand that these clothes are too big and that it may look silly, but sin, I am clothed with Him, and I am wearing hand-me-down armor from my elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will win the battle. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not before Him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fell Him. It is by the Lord Jesus Christ that our battles in this Christian life will be won. And to do so, we must be adorned with Christ. daily adorned with the Lord Jesus Christ, daily covered in Him, daily wearing His righteousness, coming before Him daily so that we can fight this battle. And what is the battle? Talked a lot about the spiritual battle, but I haven't defined it. That's called a preacher mistake. It's an assumption. What is the battle? What is the battle in the mind of Paul? Are we to put on this spiritual armor and be adorned with Christ and go out and slay demons and kill devils? Are we postmodern crusaders trying to reclaim some holy land? Are we out there fighting spiritual battles like Frank Peretti's novels tell us? No. In our text, we are fighting against the rot that lies within our own hearts. We're fighting against that old man, that old nature, that who we were is what we are fighting against. And it takes skill. Paul says, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That is the battle. Your battlefield is your own heart. And Paul tells us that in order to win this battle, we need to arise from our slumber. We can't go on saying we're Christians and living in this sleepy stupor of a state. We need to be focused, which requires us to be awake. We are going to have to arise while the morning is still early. And we are to throw off those old clothes, and we are to put on that armor of light and be adorned with Christ. And that's how we prepare for the battle. Fighting on our own hearts. Fighting that old man that sometimes seems to be winning. Fighting that battle against the sin that causes displeasure to God. Fighting against our own hearts. So friends, if you have been drowsy, if you have been going through your Christian life in a drowsy state or a sleepy state, if you have been walking in this stupor that we have talked about, wake up. And if you haven't been walking in a state of sleepiness, believe me, there will be times. We all have the time, and we need to tell ourselves, wake up. Wake up and fight. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are confronted with the fact that so many times our hearts drift from you. Lord, help us to arise. Help us to put on that armor of light. Help us to be adorned with Christ so that we may win the battle through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.